How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
The National Day of Prayer is approaching. I have the privilege of serving as the honorary chairman this year.
There's a comment by a Roman Catholic bishop. I will die in my bed. My successor will die in jail. His successor will be martyred, and his successor will begin to rebuild from the ashes.
A spirit-filled congregation is not measured by the number of goosebumps that are raised in a worship service, but rather a spirit-filled congregation is found in how much Christ is declared to you.
Lutherans who are married to Catholics love Issues Etc.
The church is one foundation. It's Christ our Lord.
It's really amazing how often this happens. A comment, a statement made by someone in the press very quickly takes on a life of its own. It gets divorced from its context, and it becomes a story all by itself. We've watched this happen with comments made by an ESPN analyst, Chris Broussard, after Jason Collins announced as the first openly gay NBA player. Broussard's comments became a story all their own, sometimes even divorced from the reason for those comments, the question he was asked, and the answer that he gave. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org joins us to talk about comments made by this ESPN analyst and how it was covered in the press. A little bit later, we're going to do some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, since it is Friday afternoon, May the 3rd. And Shane Rosenthal will join us to talk about the need for Christian contemplation. Our usual Friday Fair continues all the way to the very end. We're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You listen to the four soundbites, then you give us a call, an email, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Bobby Ross Jr. is a regular guest. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
You say that a lot of the coverage of the Chris Broussard comments on the famous NBA gay come out have lacked context. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that if you just read the headlines or read, you know, a lot of the quick stories that came out in the media, it's all about how Broussard didn't follow the standard storyline of most of the people who've applauded Jason Collins coming out and have been excited about the first major, you know, the first player in a major sport to come out and say he's gay. And it's been basically, you know, Broussard immediately immediately criticized this and attacked homosexuality. You know, you kind of get that tone as opposed to the fact that he was on a program on ESPN and he was asked the question and responded that, you know, I'm a Christian, I don't agree with homosexuality, and then went on, you know, to say I think it's a sin, as he thinks all sin outside of marriage between a man and a woman is.
So he was simply asked for his reaction and honestly gave his reaction.
Right. He was asked a question and answered a question and from a journalistic perspective, the reason the context is important is so that a reader knows that it's not like he just heard about this news and immediately held a press conference to come down on it. He was asked the question and he answered it. You know, it's a pretty simple thing for a news story to do, but, you know, a lot of the coverage I read couldn't even do that little simple thing well.
A journalist that I work with often says that in journalism school you're told to avoid adjectives, and you found one, the adjective controversial. Why does it not fit here?
Well, because to me it's an editorial word. It's a loaded word because you basically Broussard has come out and given his opinion, his belief as a Christian, and basically his belief, what he believes about sexuality and homosexuality is in line with 2,000 years of traditional Christian teachings. So it's controversial to people who disagree with him, and it's controversial in the context of the direction that the American culture has been headed the last few years, but it's not controversial to everyone. And I think, to me, using that term in a news story, just, I don't know if it shows bias, but it kind of weights the story in one direction rather than trying to, you know, step back and just tell it straight down the middle without favoring one side.
You also found a lead story at CNN's Belief blog that had to do kind of a spinoff story from the Jason Collins revelation. What was it?
Well, it was a story about a former National League Football League player, former NFL player, who had tweeted support for Jason Collins after he revealed that he was gay. And the basic storyline is that this football player, Leroy Butler, a former safety for the Green Bay Packers, and I admit I'm not a big NFL fan, but I've never heard of the guy. You know, he's a former player who's saying that he got disinvited from a church he was supposed to speak at because of his tweet in support of Jason Collins. You know, so CNN on it, you know, has got a national story about this and doesn't even, you know, it's apparently been disinvited because Butler doesn't even say which church it is. So you've got a one-sided story about a former player who was apparently disinvited from a speaking engagement. It, to me, just raised all kinds of questions about, you know, this is really news, and it was kind of surprising to me.
Even if it were news, isn't it kind of basic journalism to at least try and figure out what church are we talking about, get the comment from someone in the church? I mean, just cover the whole story, even if it, you know, if it is a story.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we posted on Get Religion about this, some of the reader comments were along the lines of, if a journalist can't fact check the story, should it even be printed? And, you know, if the player won't provide the name of the church, how do I, as a reader, know he isn't just lying about even having a speaking engagement? And, you know, I'm not saying that he is, but I'm saying that from a reporting perspective, you have no way of knowing if he won't give you all the facts to check out his story. You know, another reader said, if he were the news desk editor, he would say, no church name, no news story. And, you know, I tend to agree with him, although I'm not even sure if I know the church name. I'm still a little curious about why this is news.
Then, in other respects, Bobby, how would you evaluate so far the media coverage of the very obvious religion angle in the Jason Collins story?
Well, you know, I know there's been some coverage of, you know, of him personally and him, you know, the fact that he's, you know, says he's a Christian and this falls in line with his beliefs. I think the coverage could probably be better as far as maybe a little bit more detail and insight into kind of exactly what his religious beliefs are and maybe even how his own, you know, whether he's had any kind of transformation himself personally on this issue.
Turning to a story that kind of got buried, and probably rightly so, because of the Boston Marathon bombing and its aftermath. But the story of the Boy Scouts of America and their recent decision regarding homosexuals, what was the decision, and how do you evaluate the coverage there?
Well, the decision was to recommend allowing gay young people, gay boys, into the Scouts while continuing to exclude homosexual adults as Scout leaders. And, you know, this, as you mentioned, this story came out on a Friday afternoon right when Boston was on lockdown. And so it kind of, you know, one of those things where if you were a conspiracy theorist and thinking the Boy Scouts were trying to bury this news, they couldn't have picked a better day to do it. But, you know, a lot of the major outlets did still, you know, pull together stories. A lot of it seemed to be, quote, straight from advocacy groups and not a lot of, I guess, real insightful coverage that I read on the first day.
Did the religion angle there, again, one that is not as obvious but certainly there, arguably there, did it get enough coverage in the media?
Yeah, and I think most of the coverage I read acknowledged or reported the fact that the Scouts and religious organizations do have some pretty close ties, just because a lot of the scouting organizations are sponsored by church and religious organizations like the Mormons, the Catholics, the Southern Baptist, Methodist are all real involved in scouting. So particularly I thought the Associated Press did a good job kind of highlighting that part of it.
One final thing, you've noticed something. I don't watch the show, but I know many who do, Duck Dynasty, and there are certainly characters at the center of this reality show. But you say that there is a religion angle there that actually found its way through the media. With about a minute, what did you find there, Bobby? Oh,
sure. Yeah, I had posted several months ago about the New York Times and the Associated Press kind of reporting on this phenomenon of Duck Dynasty and these crazy bearded guys who worked at making duck calls. You know, the story's kind of just focusing on the crazy angle and not the fact of what the role that faith plays in their lives. And the Tennessean had a great story over the weekend just kind of on why there's such a big appeal between the Duck Dynasty family and particularly people in the Bible Belt.
So then basically there has been criticism that a lot of these profiles ignore the role of faith in these
right.
kind of duck call titans come celebrities.
Right. Right. And the Tennessean kind of nailed it, hit a home run and got that angle and was with a real impressive story. And I think USA Today even picked, you know, it's a Gannett, Tennessean's a Gannett newspaper. So USA Today even had that story kind of splashed up on its lead story on its homepage earlier this week.
Bobby Rosch Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
When we come back, we're going to turn to you responding to some of your comments, either on the Issues Etc. comment line or via email. We'll be right back with listener email and the comment line.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.